This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In order to get a defensive player's perspective on the NFL's new helmet rule, we welcome longtime linebacker and Super Bowl champion A.J. Hawk, who is now part of SiriusXM, as well as the host of the HawkCast podcast available on iTunes. Thanks for joining us, A.J.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
What's your reaction to what the NFL is doing now with this new helmet rule?
Well, I mean, they seem to, it seems like every time they try to change something or clarify the rule, they end up confusing more and more people, and no one really has any clarity right now. And I think, I mean, honestly, the players, of course, they have to deal with it. They're the ones that are going to be getting fined and flags thrown for certain hits, but the question, too, is you're just making it more difficult by the day for these refs. The refs already have enough judgment calls to make, and now you add this one. It just seems like nobody really knows what is illegal and what's not. I know the NFL is trying to figure it out here, and they claim they're going to clarify it as the season gets closer, but I think they're running out of time, so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out going into week one.
When there is a new rule that gets implemented that requires subjectivity, and the players know it, as you've mentioned, AJ, and the referees are attempting to understand it and to do their jobs right, does that mean you cut them some slack or no?
Oh, no. I mean, of course not. You can't, unless it helps your team out. You know, you just hope it evens out. If they miss one against the other team, then you hope they miss one on your team. But yeah, they... The refs, I don't envy their job. Those guys have a very tough gig, and they get graded week in and week out just like the players do. So it's not an easy gig.
Because of this new rule, there's a debate about how defenders tackle and how they should tackle. So how did you learn? How did you tackle, AJ?
Well, I mean, it's almost impossible to not have your helmet make contact with the opponent when you're tackling them. Yeah, there's certain times when you may be lassoing their legs and gator tackling, you grab the legs and roll in certain situations, but especially if you're in the trenches kind of around the lineman, your head is going to be in there. And I started playing football in the second grade, so I was taught from a young age the proper way to tackle, but now I don't even know what the proper way to tackle is. I mean, the only thing I know for a fact is it's always much safer to have your head up and to be hitting with your face mask and the top of your forehead, really, when you go in for a tackle. When you lower your head, that's when you get those spiral fractures down your spine and guys end up getting paralyzed and things like that. So you have to find a way to keep your head up and drive through the ball carrier. But I don't really know what you can lead with now. If they're saying your head can't really make any contact with certain areas of the opponent you're trying to tackle, I just don't know how it's going to play out, because it's going to happen whether you're trying to or not.
So then, in theory, as difficult as it may be, do you understand the point behind the rule?
Oh, yes. In theory, I definitely understand why they're trying to implement these rules. Ultimately, they say it's for player safety, and I do believe that they want the game to be safer. They really do. It makes sense. For many reasons for the NFL to try to not get ahead of this. It's already too late for that with different things we've seen and former players and everything, but to try to minimize the damage, I guess, going forward. But there's kind of a tipping point at some time, and I don't know where that is, and I don't know how many more things they can implement. I do like the new kickoff rules. I think that definitely takes some of those long-range running violent collisions out of it, and that's a great thing for the game. But as far as the helmet rule goes, I'm still confused.
We're spending a few minutes with longtime NFL linebacker and Super Bowl champion A.J. Hawk, who has the HawkCast podcast available on iTunes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned learning how to play football in the second grade. When something becomes second nature to you, like tackling, when there's so many years of muscle memory, how difficult is it to change that habit and to alter the way that you do something?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It really is, because just like any sport or anything you're doing, once you get tired and winded and you're just going off of instincts, you're going to fall back on what your initial training is. Now, you definitely can change. I mean, as I got older, I any bad habits that I picked up, I tried to recognize those and work through them and try to drill them enough and just get back to your fundamentals. So you can change your patterns and how you do things and how you tackle. You can't change it 100%. Like, you're not all of a sudden going to be a completely different guy when you go in to tackle somebody. It's not going to look completely different, but you can make tiny adjustments here or there. But a lot of times when you're on the field, everything's happening so quickly and it's such close quarters that it's unavoidable. And those are the things that I don't know how they're going to judge if it's a flag or not.
Over the last 5 years, 10 years, we've seen increased usage of instant replay. And I'm not exactly sure how they're going to apply it when it comes to this new helmet rule. But there seem to be two schools of thought, AJ. One is that when you slow down a play, so it's frame by frame by frame, yes, you have the opportunity to get the call right, so you should go ahead and take it. The other school of thought is that all the stops and starts, all the use of replay really takes away from the game experience. What do you think?
I mean, I think there should be replay for certain situations to see if the ball crossed the goal line or his feet got in bounds when making a catch. But I don't know how you're going to go and replay this helmet rule if they choose to do that. The networks that pay billions of dollars to put these games on TV, they need to fit into those viewing windows. There's 1 o'clock Eastern, 4:25. Like, there's certain time frames that these games have to be. And if you start to replay everything, you're going to have games that are way too long and the networks are not going to like it. They're not going to want to bid hundreds of millions, billions of dollars for these packages of games. So I know the NFL isn't, they're worried about safety, number one, they say, but you can't replay everything. You really can't. It ruins the flow of the game. There's a natural flow that a game has. And if you're stopping it every three or four plays, it's not going to be a great product.
As a player, how much does it affect you when you have stops and starts caused by instant replay?
As a player, it's okay, actually, because you can use that break sometimes, so you don't mind it. I remember going from high school to college, and I was always so tired in high school playing. I was playing offense and defense the whole game, and I'm just winded the whole time, and you feel like you can never catch your breath. And I got to college, and you realize that they have commercials, and you have TV timeouts. And when you have those, that's a great needed break that you rely on to kind of recharge. And so as a player, the replays, yeah, if I was an offensive guy and my team's driving and it seemed like I kept getting interrupted with these replays all the time, I think it could really mess with the flow of an offense. Now, defense, I don't think it affects them nearly as much, but if you're in rhythm and you're a quarterback and you're an offense really hitting on all cylinders, it can definitely really make a speed bump where there wasn't before.
And yet I don't think instant replay is ever going to go away completely. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We're spending a few minutes with longtime Packers linebacker and Super Bowl champion AJ Hawk. AJ, I hear it from fans a lot. It's become a popular take that the new rules designed for safety purposes are watering down the game. Some fans would go so far as to tell you that the game has become softer and that it's powder puff football, yada, yada, yada. What's your opinion about how these rules are changing football?
No, I don't think it's gotten to that point. It definitely could at some point, but I feel like as long as you're wearing helmets, it's going to be violent. It will. You wear a helmet and it's supposed to be a protective device, but the truth is, it's a weapon. You have to kind of use it as a weapon in certain situations. And you can do that without causing long-term damage, I think, as well. But a protective device, a helmet that is used as a protective device is what a fighter pilot wears. If he gets in a crash, he's not banging his head off the cockpit. But if you're wearing a helmet on the football field, you need to use that. And it's not just there. It's obviously there to protect you. But as long as you're wearing that, you're going to use it to gain an advantage, to strike a guy, whatever it may be. It might be incidental at times. But, no, I don't think the game is getting it's not what it was back in the day where linebackers could just pick off any guy running anywhere near the middle. You hear stories about Singletary and Nitschke talking, saying, no, nobody comes in the middle of this football field. Well, I always loved those guys, and I loved watching them, but that's just was not a reality anymore when I was playing football. I can't sit there and hit the defenseless receiver running across the middle of the field and just knock him out. So that things like that are definitely better for the longevity of players, but I think the game's still in great shape. Why do you think so many people still tune in to watch super boring events like the NFL Combine? I mean, the draft, like that's not riveting stuff, but it gets millions and millions of people to watch because we all love watching football.
No, it's definitely not riveting stuff, but you're right. People absolutely eat it up. The phrase that you just used about the helmet being a weapon caught my ear because the NFL has said the opposite. The league does not want the helmet to be a weapon. So would you please explain what you mean by the helmet as a weapon?
Yeah, you can. So let's just say for my own perspective, if I'm a linebacker and I have an offensive lineman coming out to try to cut me off and block me, I'm barely 6 foot one with short arms, and these guys are sometimes 6 foot six with huge wingspans, and they're coming out, and if they get a hold of me, I'm done. So I have to use my space, like your head and your hands, you call it when you initially strike a lineman, to where at the same time my forehead and my hands have to strike the offensive lineman coming out of me to kind of stun him or just give him pause for a second to where I can chop and get by him to go try to make a tackle. So I'm not saying lower my head and use the crown of my helmet, but I have to use my face and my forehead to try that initial strike, whether that hits him in the helmet, hits him in the chest, wherever it may be. That's a way to get off of blocks that you have to do it just if you're a linebacker. And that's, you talk about offensive and defensive linemen, they're using their head on every single play and they have to. So that's why you can't just call it a protective device. It has to be a weapon.
Interesting. Well, that gives me a lot to think about. Thank you so much for the explanation. Right now, we're halfway through preseason, and a lot of the focus this time of the year is about the rookies and how they will make their impact in the NFL. And you played at a big-time college program, Ohio State. What do you remember about your first training camp?
Well, yeah, so I was lucky where I had 5 years in the NFL with the old CBA, and then I had basically six seasons with the new CBA. So I've seen what they both look like. In my first training camp, I'm just glad that I was so young and naive, and that's all I knew was two-a-days and full pads every single day, and it was never even a question if you were taking the pads off or not. And yet we had multiple periods that were live each day, and we're tackling to the ground, and we were really banging every single day. I think when I was young and naive, I was just, that's what I did. That's what I knew. I never asked questions, and I think sometimes it's good to keep your head down and just keep moving. I was trying to be seen but not heard. But it's definitely an awakening, no question. When you come out there, when I first got in the league, there was no acclimation period. You come out and you wear full pads the first day, and you have two-a-days and everything. So it's gotten a lot better now as far as the players, the schedule. And I saw both ways, from old CBA to the new one. But that first training camp, there's a lot to digest because you're installing either offensively or defensively multiple plays every single morning. Then you're walking through it, and then you're taken to the field, and it's live. They're going to throw all those calls at you. You have to find a way to fight through how tired you are, how banged up your body is. And then you have to go and study all night and try to get some sleep because you're going to install on defense maybe 8 or 10 more calls with multiple checks off of each call the next day, and it just builds up and it builds up. And I think that's where you see some guys struggle when you get in towards the middle of training camp and you almost have your whole playbook installed, and it just seems like you have a massive amount of things to try to remember in a split second.
It sounds like you were sleep deprived. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. AJ Hawk, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. He's a longtime NFL linebacker and is now on Sirius XM NFL radio as well as college, and also does some MMA analysis, believe it or not. I actually went to Lambeau Field for the first time last week, AJ. It was a bucket list experience. It was amazing. 80,000 people there for a preseason game, which, of course, you are familiar with. But I'm glad I have a chance to talk to you. What was your favorite thing about playing at Lambeau?
I mean, honestly, everything. I never let it flip my mind how lucky I was to be drafted by the Packers and spend 9 great years there. But yeah, the people there are amazing. Every single person that lives in Wisconsin, it seems like, just diehard through and through Packers fans. And we, you know, I went 6-10 one year there. So, and they were with us just like they were our Super Bowl year. So everything at Lambeau is very special. I would talk to my friends all the time that were on other teams, and they would get excited to come play in Lambeau just because they wanted to experience it. And there was all their family would always come. A lot of times other players' families don't go to many away games, but they would always travel when they were playing the Packers because everyone wants to experience Lambeau. And like you said, you have 80,000 for a preseason game. You have 60, 80,000 for the family night scrimmage August 4th every single year. And then they have a big fireworks show afterwards. It's just a great family environment and just an awesome place to play. And speaking with my family and my friends that have all been there, being in the stands was very, very different and unique compared to the rest of the NFL.
It was absolutely unforgettable, to be sure. One of the coolest things was that Aaron Rodgers was back playing in front of the Packers fans for the first time in nearly a year. And he got the standing ovation, and he said he even teared up a little bit. It meant so much to him. He means a lot to the game of football, not just the Packers. So here's my question, AJ. What's the first thing you do when you line up across from Aaron Rodgers as a defender?
Wow. So that's a great question. There's so many different ways he can beat you, and he's so smart on top of all of his physical tools. But so I got to face him a lot in practice early on. My first 2 years, Brett Favre was our starting quarterback. And so I was playing against Aaron every single day, and we knew how good he was back then even. But, well, first off, you try to not disguise. You try to disguise a little bit what you're doing. If you're blitzing, you try to hold your water, as they say, and don't show him. You try to do whatever you can, but then you feel like he already knows before you do where you're going. And that's the thing that makes him so special. All the great ones, the mental game that they have is just off the charts. And Aaron is next level when it comes to that. And you pair that with the physical tools he has and how good of an athlete he is with his quick release and also how he can scramble when needed. That's why he can't be stopped. He really can't.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to be there on that particular night. A.J. Hawk is a former Packers linebacker, a Super Bowl champion. Now he's got the Hawk Cast, which is his podcast available on iTunes. And you can also hear him on SiriusXM, NFL Radio, as well as on college football games. Hey, great to catch a couple of minutes with you. Thank you so much for your expertise and your insight, A.J.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.